This is Ashley Hodge. I'm here with Kendall Kout. We're going to talk some transfer portal basketball for Baylor. Good month for Baylor, Kendall. Jeremy Roach, that we had a podcast after Roach committed, and now we got a huge addition in the portal, literally. Norchad Omier from Miami, double-double machine, you know, probably the best rebounder Baylor's had since maybe Rico Gathers, Jonathan Motley. You know, he's a guy that can clean the glass and does some really good things. Low post threat. He can score. He defends. He blocks shots. He gets steals. He's a big body. Sets great picks. Let's talk about how the Baylor roster looks after getting him. And then we'll kind of just talk about the type of player that we might need to round this roster out to get a really good starting eight, you know, eight or nine guys rotation. Kendall, how you doing?
Doing well, Ashley. Really like the roster. I think we both really like Jeremy Roach at point guard. We covered him a little bit in our last podcast. Even the haters would say he was a good guard at Duke. Real improvement for three-point shooting. I think at the end of the last season, Ray J. Dennis's inability to consistently hit threes kind of hurt Baylor's spacing. And so if you do try and go that double big with Miami man, Norchad, is it Omier? Is that how you pronounce it?
Omier, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, I only watch the clips on YouTube. I mute the sound now. So I never hear what they're saying about these guys. But if you play him and Josh together, you get really good shooting with Jeremy Roach at point guard. We know Langston loves a bucket. If there's anything Jaden Nunn will work on this offseason, it's his three-point shooting. And then VJ Edgecombe is a capable three-point shooter. And as folks may remember, with the national championship team, Mark Vidal didn't make threes and played power forward in the starting lineup. And Norchad is a much better three-point shooter than Mark Vidal. And so he does give you some spacing, but it's kind of a positionless thing between him and Josh, where he's going to out-rebound Josh, even if he plays power forward primarily. And so it doesn't really matter who you classify as the center or the power forward, because both of those guys can guard bigs, both can defend on the perimeter. It'll give Baylor a much more switchable defense. And I like this move because to me it said, if you're going to miss, you're going to miss a little bit on defense, even though he's a great offensive player too. And that's what I was happy about, that they didn't just go find a guy who will say, he'll give you 20, but he'll give up 25. That's not what this pickup was. And if you're going to spend your money, it's spent wisely. So I'm over the moon about that addition. I thought it was about the best addition Baylor could make at power forward. I like it a lot more than some late freshman or some freshman transfer. Been in college for four seasons. Miami went to the Final Four a couple of years ago. Really good pickup, I think, for the Bears. Ashley, what's your view of picking him up today? Or I guess yesterday was the official pickup. Wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he committed. I think he gave him a commitment almost a week ago, but he, you know, locked it down yesterday. I mean, I'm ecstatic about it. You know, I think that Baylor couldn't have done better. You know, getting a point guard and a big in the portal. You know, CBS Sports has those guys, both top six portal additions. You know, I can't imagine wanting anybody that was ranked above them. You know, I think they're perfect for what Baylor does. Omier's got Final Four experience. Did Roach go to a Final Four? I'm not sure.
Yeah, he would have been on the team that lost to Carolina in the Final
Four. That's right. Yeah, so he's been in the Final Four as well. So you got two guys that have tournament experience. That's big. They're, you know, all ACC performers. You're getting guys that have proven it at the Power Conference. They're not having to step up a level. You never know how that'll go. It's worked out well for Baylor with other players, but you know, you have a good idea of what Omier's production is going to translate to the Big 12. You have a good idea of what Jeremy Roach's production is going to translate to the Big 12. You know, they're playing arguably competition that's equal, you know, maybe a little less. But you've seen, you know, definitely Roach, you know, head to head. So, you know what he can do against, you know, Baylor guards. He had a really good game in New York City against Baylor. So I'm ecstatic about these pickups. I think it really sets the roster up well. You know, I think they're going to add one more guy. I think it's going to be like a Jalen Bridges type of player. You know, I heard Fran Fraschilla say this to our Sikkim 365 guys today that, you know, maybe there's still a small possibility that Jalen Bridges returns to Baylor. I would say that's a low probability, but this guy that they're targeting that should be on campus this week, we're not ready to reveal the name yet, but he's a guy that will be a lot like Jalen Bridges, shoots the ball really well from three. He can defend. You know, he's a guy that's going to be a very proficient offensive player. And so if you look at, you know, a guy that's, you know, three guys that are going to man those post positions, You know, he's more of a small forward, power forward type, but Omer is more of a power forward center. And then you got Josh, who's, you know, a straight post player. We need Josh to take a big step up in rebounding percentages. He's got to be a great rebounder this year. He's got to, you know, be, I think, a better shot blocker. I'm pretty happy with the way he moves his feet laterally. You know, he's a good perimeter defender, can switch ball screens, and has done some really good things later in the season, you know, even with his post defense, position post defense. But he could really take a step up with his rebounding and his ability to finish around the rim, his decision-making, and also his shot blocking. And if you get that, I really like what we're setting up for, because we know this backcourt is going to be filthy. You know, it's going to have three guys that you can count on, and Nunn, Roach, and Love. And then you got Edgecombe, you know, is a very exciting one-and-done prospect. And then Rob Wright, you know, is probably the best, you know, freshman point guard prospect we've had in a long time. No offense to great ones like Jared Butler and Mira Little and some of the names that have come through Baylor. But I mean, Rob Wright's he's a very seasoned, tough, you know, Philly point guard, and, you know, exactly what we want for the next 3 years, 4 years, hopefully, and, you know, manning the Baylor offense. But he doesn't have to, you know, take the keys right away. He can learn under Jeremy Roach, and you know, that'll be a great thing for all parties.
Agreed. I like the Omer pickup beyond what we mentioned, actually, for a couple of reasons. The first is that he gives you positional versatility and positional competition. And so Josh O could easily be the starting center to begin the year with Omer at power forward. And that's what I think probably opens up the campaign. But if Josh O doesn't come through the summer really improving rebounding, as you mentioned, Ashley, and blocking more shots, it's easy for the staff to say, Omer is our starting center. The addition you mentioned, Ashley, will play at power forward. I think we're all pretty certain that VJ will play one of the wing spots. Jeremy Roach is going to start. And then it'll be between Jaden Nunn and Langston Love for those final two spots. But it gives you that positional versatility to both challenge Josh O at the five, and then whoever Baylor brings in as well, to say, look, if you want to win this spot here, do these things. So I think it puts pressure across the positions. Then you can slide down and say, well, if Omer's playing well and Josh O is playing well, but the new guy you bring in is playing well, maybe you want to start him at the three. And then VJ, as a freshman, can't come in just expecting to play right away, and he's got to compete with Jaden and Langston. Jeremy Roach is going to start, right? That's Jeremy Roach will start. Omer will start. That's a guarantee. I'm 99% sure VJ will start. I'd put the odds at about 80% Josh starts game one. And then I would say, I'm going to go with 65% Jaden Nunn is the starter, but whoever between him and Langston's not the starter is going to play starters minutes, because they'll get breathers for the three and the two. And if you're Langston, you can play some power forward even. So they'll get starter minutes, but that's my guess for starting five. Ashley, where do you lean right now for starting five on May 6th for how Baylor will open the season in November?
I would agree with that. All right, I'm gonna move a little bit here so that the lighting's not right in your face. I would say, you know, I agree with your starting five, and like you said, you know, it doesn't really matter if it's Nunn or Love, because it's probably, you know, going to be a good candidate for sixth man of the year. You know, Kansas may also have somebody that's going to be a good candidate too. They've got a pretty loaded roster as well. And I think, you know, I would envision in the front court, you know, there's been some discussion and arguments about this on our message boards, but I would envision that Josh starts at center, Omer starts at the four. And then let's say you bring Josh out at the 16-minute mark, and then you have this new transfer come in, and then Omer, you know, slides over to the center position. And then at the 12-minute mark, you know, Josh comes back in, and then you play the transfer with Josh. I think those three guys are going to divide up a lot of the minutes there. And I don't know how Jason Azumoda fits into the equation. I mean, he's kind of the forgotten guy, but you're talking about a 6'9 guy with a 7-foot wingspan, probably not the most physically strong guy, maybe more of a wing player, but he can shoot threes. He's athletic. I'm excited about him as a prospect. I hope he's patient. I see a little bit of Jonathan Motley in him, you know, better shooter than Motley was, you know, but certainly, you know, some of those same characteristics athletically. So I mean, Jason Azumoda may be a guy that by the end of the season's carving out a big role in this team as well. But at least initially, we're thinking this 8-man rotation, you know, it's probably going to be the ones we talked about. I think they're going to get a backup big in the portal, somebody that's like a tough physical rebounder, you know, shot blocker, you know, probably, you know, kind of raw offensively, because that's probably what you're going to get at this point. But you can get, you know, get a guy that can dunk, rebound, and block shots. That would be amazing. That would be a big pickup. and probably a developmental guard as well. You know, Giannis Ndamukong is a guy we haven't mentioned, but he's coming off a knee injury and he'll probably be on the roster as well. So I think that's how the 12-man roster will shape out. And I'm very excited about it. I think it's a team that can win the Big 12, a very incredibly tough Big 12. Preseason right now, we got four of the top five teams as Big 12 teams. Kansas, probably going to be a consensus number one. They've got a loaded roster. You know, Baylor's going to be in the top four probably. Houston is up there. Iowa State's up there. That's a pretty tough league. We know Arizona's going to be good as well. So we're talking a loaded Big 12 and definitely the toughest conference in basketball, at least on paper.
I think so, actually. The league might look more like a year where the top four or five are really good. And then I think those top four or five may not lose any games to the bottom three or four teams. And you might look and be like, wow. Or it might come down to, well, how is Houston now two games back, even though they knocked off KU? And it'll be like, well, Houston randomly blew a game to West Virginia. And then Jamie Dixon went 5-13 this year. I guess we're playing 20 games, 5-15. But that was one of his big wins. My hot takes about all these Big 12 teams. Houston, if the folks remember from all of our podcasts last year, as allergies start killing me in Kansas, they might remember I was very high on Houston last year.
Yeah.
I think Houston's a good team. Kelvin Sampson deserves the benefit of the doubt. But if I owned stock in Houston, I'm selling it all right now. Jamal Shedd really made that team go. And he's not coming back. And you wonder about if certain guys thought they should have been the point guard already. Now you bring in a transfer point guard from Oklahoma who wasn't anywhere near as dominant as Shedd was. I just worry, is their top-end talent quite good enough? I'm not going to get into more about LJ since his mom has found me on Twitter anytime I've gotten into discussions about his role on past Baylor teams. But I think there's a ceiling to that team. Iowa State will be very good. Once again, the question will be, is there a ceiling with the talent going forward? Where you, do you have to have some NBA ability on your roster? Taman Lipsey is obviously a very good player. You don't know about that. I think KU rightfully is the preseason number one team. But it will be a similar deal where I think the reason they're preseason number one is that Bill Self's going to be willing to be mean to these guys. But I don't know what in the world KJ Adams did coming back to KU because I don't think he's going to play a lot, right? DeJuan Harris is going to start. Hunter Dickinson's going to start. Presumably, AJ Storrs from Wisconsin is going to start.
Marlon then, Griffin.
Yep, you have him from Alabama. You have at least one good transfer guard from South Dakota. There's a question about if that Riley Kugel kid from Florida is going to be academically eligible to transfer, which I don't know what happens that you can't get academically eligible to transfer between an SEC and Big 12 school. But, you know, something's going on there. But even without those guys, they still have kind of a lottery ticket in Marco Jackson. So that's a talented roster. They'll probably lose some games in November, hurt the Big 12's ultimate KenPom ranking, because KU probably will play KJ and Hunter to start the year. Bill Self will get tired of that. He'll play his best lineup. And then KU will be a one seed. I think Baylor has a good chance to be a one seed. And I think it's been since the Big East, maybe in like 2009, had three number one seeds. But I think this is probably the best chance to have three number one seeds since then. And so I think the Big 12's got a real shot at three number one seeds this year, Ashley.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, there's – you look at – I mean, you throw Arizona in the mix, and you got, you know, probably – five top 10 teams there that are going to be duking it out for those one seeds. And, you know, this may be a year that you have an eight loss, a nine loss, one seed, you know, just because of how tough the Big 12 is going to be. You're going to beat up on each other a little bit. I would agree with you on KU. It's going to be interesting to see how they meld all that talent together. Do you think Johnny Furphy is going to stay in the draft, or do you think there's a possibility he comes out?
I think there's an outside shot he returns. Bill Self today mentioned in an interview that he thought he would stay in. And given how weak the draft is, I think you convince yourself I'd rather stay in the draft than go back and compete with a loaded roster and
undraft
the more talented one.
Yeah, he may be getting less minutes than he got last year, so that wouldn't be beneficial for him. Yeah, it's an interesting deal. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I like, you know, Baylor's top three better than Kansas's top three, you know, just because I'm so high on Amir and Roach. But there's no question that, you know, Kansas has more scoring power, you know, through number seven or number eight, but there's only one basketball, right? You got to have role players. And I think Baylor's thought through that maybe, you know, to a higher degree than perhaps Kansas is. I mean, they just loaded it with really good offensive players who probably play pretty good defense. And they're, you know, I mean, Bill Self's a great coach, no question about it, but It'll be interesting to see how it all works and molds together. We know Hunter's not the best defender. He's got some issues there. We know KJ Adams is limited offensively. We know he's undersized and can, you know, bigger players can take advantage of him in the post. And we know Dwan Harris, you know, doesn't shoot threes really well. So, I mean, those are all, you know, things that are going to matter against high level competition. And I do like that, you know, with Baylor, if you look at the starting lineup and even the top eight guys, you know, especially if we get this transfer that we're thinking we'll get later this week, you know, those are guys that can all make threes except for Josh. You know, Josh is the only one that is a guy that you're not going to count on to make threes. Everybody else is a plus 35% 3-point shooter. So it just really spreads the floor well. You got some guys that will attack you off the bounce. You know, Jeremy Roach is really good at that. You got a space eater that's going to require a lot of double teams with Omir. So I love the Baylor roster, and I'm very bullish on their opportunity to get a chance to win a national championship, you know, which would be their second in the last 5 years. Be pretty special.
It'd be absolutely fantastic. And I think it speaks to, you know, the school might want you to donate money to build an arena or design some buildings, or I don't know. I'm sure the political science department would tell you they need a new draper, but Baylor doesn't need a new business school. They built new business schools every 10 years. It feels like if you got money, it seems like donating to NIL is the way to go right now, because it's the Wild West and Baylor's in a spot to win right now. And you want to keep winning when realignment hits next, or with whatever happens with basketball hits next. And we've now entered the era where there is not a single kid Baylor will recruit that knows Baylor basketball being bad.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. You hear people say it all the time, you know, that Baylor's their dream school and all they associate, especially guys that are 14 or 15. I mean, you know, these Baylor's been like number one seed. I mean, the worst seed they've been is a number three since those guys have been, you know, paying attention to college basketball. So, Baylor's got in a great position. It's been a terrific summer. You know, you ward off the advances from Louisville, you ward off the advances from Kentucky. And now, you know, Scott Drew has the resources. Good staff, you know, put together a really good staff. We could talk about that a little bit. You know, what's your take on the staff as a whole? Like, do you have any thoughts on the addition so far? And then, you know, we think Melvin Hunt's going to join the staff here in a few days.
Yeah, I think really good additions. Obviously, you know, I don't want to insult anybody from the prior staff, but I thought the move to Kentucky was beneficial for both sides for AB. I think getting out of the shadow of you were on the Scott Drew, Jerome Tang, John Jacobs staff will be helpful for him. I think he will do very well at Kentucky. And I think he's a future head coach that is very, very smart. But I do think for Baylor's perspective, you can get a little stale sometimes in your habits about what you do defensively. So I am excited to see what this roster can do with some new voices on the defensive end. So I think that side will help Baylor a lot. And then also beyond that, I'm really excited for Tweety Carter to be an official assistant head coach instead of just the director of player development. He connects so well with players, obviously incredible experience as a college basketball player, really a put the team first kind of guy, played all throughout the world. So he can really advise these guys on, hey, you know, if your options are going to be to go play in Israel when you're 32, you know, here's what that might look like. Or, you know, it might sound fun to go to Poland right now, but, you know, I've got buddies that have played in Poland, or I played in Europe for a while. So those are wise voices to have. And then, you know, shouts to Ty Beard as well. Getting promoted from video coordinator to director of operations. So I thought that was a great one. And then Jason Smith, now I think his official title is general manager. Is that right, Ashley?
Yeah. And, you know, Steve Henson's been Lon Kruger's right-hand guy for many, many years. Really well thought of. You know, I think he's going to add a lot of, you know, wisdom and experience and skill to the staff. I'm a huge believer in Jared Nunes. I think he's like, an incredible recruiter, great guy, great coach. I mean, I think he's the senior guy on the staff now. I mean, obviously, I think Henson has more experience than him, but on the Baylor staff, he's the one that's been there the longest, you know, and I think he's going to be, you know, he's going to elevate, you know, his status within the program as a result of that. You know, we were both huge fans of John Jacobs and Alvin Brooks. Hate to see those guys go. Luke Simons, you know, had an opportunity to go to Ohio State and be a bench assistant. You got to take that when you get those opportunities. So we totally understand that. And then Bill Peterson, you know, left to go to Denver. But you know, I think these are good changes. You know, change sometimes like shakes things up, gives you new ideas, fresh perspective, kind of gets that dopamine going in your brain. You know, it's a good thing. So I think those are all positive things that are happening, and I do think Baylor basketball is going to be in a great place because of it. And I'm excited about Melvin Hunt. I think he's a terrific teacher, guy that loves Baylor, fits the spiritual culture like a glove. So he's going to be a huge addition to the staff as well. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. And I think, you know, we're going to have an exciting team and roster to root for, and just got to pray that we stay healthy. You know, Langston Love, you know, our two that Omir, I don't want to jinx it by saying this, but I said this on the message boards, Omir and Roach, you know, have 200 plus games between them in college, and only one did not play. And that was Omir's very first game as a college player at Arkansas State. So, you know, other than that, they've played every game. And that's huge. I mean, Ray J. Dennis was another guy like that. Jalen Bridges was a guy like that. So you're bringing in two guys that have that same kind of durability. And as Scott Drew likes to say, the best ability is availability. And those two have been available.
Yeah, and if you're going to do the investor NIL heavily at the top, which, you know, everybody's getting treated well, but obviously Baylor didn't do the KU thing. Let's bring in seven guys in the portal.
Yep.
Like the Jayhawk way. You want to make sure you have guys that are available and can really play. And You know what? Other hot take right now. I think Langston Love will miss four or fewer games this season. Yeah. I'm calling the freak injuries are over. The guy, from the eye on, it's been a goofy series of injuries. He's ready. This is his year.
I love it. I hope that is accurate. You know, Jaden Nunn's another tough guy. I don't know how many games he's missed, but he played through a lot of nagging stuff. I remember having him in a post game. I think it was a Houston game. He took a really hard hit to his tailbone and was walking around. Oh, shoulder. He was walking around kind of gingerly, you know, like working his shoulder out. And I was like, oh, that doesn't look good. He's going to miss some time. He comes into the post game. He's got it iced up. And I said, you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. And he played the next game and probably scored like 25 points. I mean, he's a tough kid, you know, and that's what you need. You want guys that are going to, you know, play through those minor aches and pains. And, you know, we got some tough guys on this team. So I'm excited about that. I think Roach and Omir are really going to set the tone from a toughness perspective, and they'll bring a lot to the table in that regard.
I think they will too. So I think it's a roster that is better than Baylor's last two on paper.
Yep.
The 22 team may be a little bit better on paper, but that was a team well ready to win a national championship, or at least be the number one overall seed until injuries hit in the second half of the year. I think very similar makeup, where you hope nothing goofy happens to Jeremy Roach, like with James Akinjo's tailbone going out. Again, same toughness where you expect him to keep playing through it. But if this team just stays healthy, I think we're both thinking this is a team that's closer to 21 and 22. You don't want to put the 21 expectations on them, but closer to 22 and 21 and 20 than maybe the last couple seasons where, you know, you knew, oh my God, you know, Ray J can't defend, Keontae can't defend, Jacoby can't defend. You know, all guys are going to make a lot of money playing basketball, but real problems at certain spots on at least one end of the floor. VJ obviously is a freshman, needs to show he can be a good off-ball defender, as we've talked about some on the podcast, but real strengths that can cover things up. And I think the leap that probably is most under-talked about right now is Jaden Nunn's a good defender. And now second year playing power conference ball, I think the leap he could make as a defender in year two is one I'm really excited to see.
Yeah, and he has a burst, you know, and he's – I think, you know, Ray J, I love Ray J. I think he was terrific for Baylor. But I do think having a very athletic point guard in Jeremy Roach next to Jaden is going to help Jaden a lot. You know, I think Jaden's got that, you know, elite athleticism, and, you know, having another guy like, you know, Ray J, he killed you with skill. And, you know, but Jeremy's a guy, you know, I could just envision in my mind, Jeremy blowing by a guy, passing out to the wing, the defense rotates. And then, you know, before you know it, Jaden Nunn's at the rim with an easy layup, you know, just because of the quickness of both of those guys feeding off each other. And I think they'll get a lot of, you know, good things in transition. Omir is such a space eater. He's going to require double teams a lot, you know, and when you do that, like pick your poison, you're throwing out to, you know, a bunch of 40% plus free 3-point shooters. So I'm excited. This team can, you know, definitely, you know, excel at the 3-point line. You know, they should be really good in that area. And, you know, it's going to be a fun ride. No question about it.
Yeah. But you got to offer one more hot take here. You know, I don't want to make anybody too mad with this hot take, but I kind of think Baylor is a basketball school now. And, yeah. You know, people can get upset about that. People can be like, well, I always love football more. I live in Texas, you know, whatever they want to say about that. But, you know, we're having real discussions about basketball and our transfer portal thread activity. And, you know,
like 260,000 views. It's like crazy.
It's incredible. All the Hodgebomb memes that are coming out now are pretty cool. The people were photoshopping you on, Ashley. I had the Omir article ready to go. Texting with Jack and Grayson last night, and I was like, hey, you know, it's ready. And then I think Grayson was like, oh, yeah, we'll post it at 8 a.m. Because some intel you had, Ashley. I was like, okay, I'll just have this ready to go. So it's fun to talk about basketball year-round. And I didn't really see that same passion about a big article about Dave Aranda posted in The Athletic, which isn't me being like, you got to fire Dave or whatever else. Just me saying that, like, I don't know. I'm just really stressing to people with how stupidly fluid sports are right now. This is a time to enjoy where we don't know in 10 years what college basketball will look like if, you know, 20 schools try and break off, or are they going to ruin the tournament by putting 128 teams in? And then kids will be like, why would I go to Baylor, Texas Tech, when that game will just happen in March anyway, and the double elimination 128 team breakout tournament on True TV Plus. Yeah. So I'm enjoying it until we expand the field. I know our buddy Hambone is a big proponent of expansion, but I like our era of 68 teams. I like the era we're in right now. And if you aren't buying good players right now, I'm sorry, your favorite team is broke.
Yeah. I mean, it's, we're fortunate to have generous donors, and people have really stepped up and, you know, given Scott what he needs. And, you know, I think they've done a good job of identifying, you know, key guys and spending the money wisely, especially on these transfers. You know, they've got some high quality additions. All right. Well, we'll cap it there. We just want to give a few thoughts after this big pickup. Norchad Omir, you know, so where would you rank the Baylor centers of the past? Like, I'm putting you on the spot here. I mean, I know I remember Daryl Middleton. You know, I had a lot of esteem for him when I was in college. And then you got to look at guys like Jonathan Motley. You had Freddie Gillespie, you know, very underrated player. Who else? Quincy Acey, you know, I guess we'll call him a center because he played center that one year. I mean, where do you think Omir is going to fall when all said and done?
It's a good question because we have a lot of those, like Omir, the positional guys, where is Motley a power forward when he wins the Carl Malone Award?
Motley would be a good comparison. Yeah, Motley would be a good comparison.
Yep. Is Mark Vidal a power forward or is he a center since his best lineup was at center? Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua when he was really doing great things. Joe Luol Achiuwile, if that's how we finally agreed to pronounce his name, did some nice things. Rico making an all Big 12 first team as a junior. I think Omir, with his offensive repertoire, let's get French since we're getting fancy with this roster now. I would say Omir, I would put below Motley for sure, just because of what Motley already achieved and really carried that team. I mean, they almost brought the same team back the following season besides Mott and Ish, and they don't make the NCAA tournament, which I think speaks to how valuable those two guys were. So I'd put him below Mott, but I think he's better than Joe. I think he gives you more skill set than Rico Gathers does, because he's going to do more than, you know, just offensive rebound. So I think he has the potential to be Baylor's second or third best big man of that era. So we'll see what he does. But I think for me, and actually, you know, I came to Baylor in the fall of 2009. That's kind of when my real knowledge of the era starts. Because anytime I'll list the like Baylor grades, people will be like, if you didn't watch Benny Johnson, don't talk to me. And I'll be like, that's fair. It's fair. Because like,
yeah, we forgot about Epe. Epe was tremendous.
Yes. Oh my
God. Yeah. One season. Yeah.
Yep. But, and then, you know, Perry Jones for five. Are we forgetting about when Perry Jones would come over and play the five? I mean,
yeah, Isaiah Austin, Corey Jefferson.
Yeah. Corey Jefferson was the forgotten man.
Yeah. Yeah. Bobo Morgan. Don't forget about Bobo Morgan.
I'm forgetting about Bobo. Seemed like a nice guy, but I'm willing to, you know, forget about Bobo.
Josh Lomers. We got to give Josh Lomers a shout out.
You can give him a shout out, actually.
Norchad Omir, you know, definitely, I think Flo Thamba is obviously a national champion, did some great things for us. But Yeah, Norchad, you got to put him in that Jonathan Motley, Epe Udoh class, as far as what I think he'll bring to the table. Just consistent double doubles, dominant low post threat, and a different player. Like I was talking to a father of a player that played in that league, and he said strongest guys his son played against, no question about it. Like when he was at Arkansas State, just totally a beast. Can't move him. Quick second leap, uses his body really well. He's going to be a weapon. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of season he has. He's a grown man, and he and Roche together should be a lot of fun to watch. All right. Well, we'll call it a wrap. You've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast. Ashley Hodge, Kendall Cowell, Sikkim Bears.